Well, if you never put your faith in Christ or surrendered to Him, I think the song Shelley sang certainly invites you to do that. As you might just say to God throughout this service or in a quiet moment, Lord, I am yours and yours alone completely. What a opportunity we have to do that. And God meets us. Any soul that cries out to Him in that way, He'll meet you. So let Him give you life and life forever with Him. Next couple bunch of weeks, going to be preaching on the Ten Commandments as we lean up to Jesus dying on the cross and raising from the dead. So the Ten Commandments will kind of show us our need for that wonderful Savior that we have and what He did for us. And it's great that you look at the Ten Commandments as a gift from God. They are very sharp. They're very clear. There's no wiggle room in the Ten Commandments, you might say. Also, if you see them as God's ten love letters to you, I think they let us know God loves us. He gives us boundaries. These things are right. These things are wrong. That's part of what He tells us in the Ten Commandments. So each week, taking one of those and see how we can meet God in His Word in that way. And remember, they are the Ten Commandments, not the Ten Suggestions. As so many times we respond that way, or maybe people around us do. Also, I showed an example of how it's easy for us to think, well, they might change because a lot of other stuff in our lives change. So maybe the Ten Commandments change too. Why not? Well, we'll see why not. But we look at God's law as a whole. It's how it can help us and also the limitations that God's law has. So first important thing to know is that there's a great difference between God's law and man's law. God's law and man's law. God's law is true for all time and for everybody. It's honor your father and mother, for example. Everybody has a chance to do that for all time. And sometimes man's law gets confused with that. There's an example in the Bible that shows us what man's law is like. It changes according to conditions and circumstances, even in some of the New Testament letters. For example, in the church of Corinth, Paul said to the folks, gals, when you come to worship and if you pray, cover your head with a babushka. You know what that is. It's like with a scarf or with a covering or put a hat on or do something like that. Now, it's cold outside. Some of you may have wore hats, but none of us have hats on today as far as the gals coming and praying. That was a law that was to help a particular church. It was man's law to help a church clarify how they fit in with the world around them. Because back then in Corinth, if you walked around in public and you were a gal and walked around in public too much with your hair uncovered, you were considered immoral. So Paul said, when you come into the church, try to keep that same kind of standard. And that was for the Corinthian church for a time. That changed. Man's law changes, even in reference to religious things. Man's law changes. God's law stays the same all the time. I remember the first church I grew up in getting confused about that. Which one's man's law and which one's God's law? Which one was my heart more wedded to? Church I grew up in said that on Friday, I was not to eat meat if I really loved Jesus. Because on Friday, Jesus died on the cross for our sins. And so we were supposed to say, I love you, Jesus, by doing that. And in our house, we ate tomato soup, it seemed like, every Friday. It seemed like for about 8 years of my life, every Friday, tomato soup. Haven't had tomato soup since that. And then there was a time in my life, the best I knew to follow God at that point, you know, being young and just seeking. I thought that was one of the best things I could do. I'm going to hold on to that law no matter what. That was a human law. And one day, it was said, you don't have to do that anymore. That law had changed. You could eat meat on Friday. And I remember, I think we had a hot dog. That was the best hot dog I ever had. Just thinking, wow, look at this. But I was confused as a young person. Now, does that mean all of God's laws change? Because man's law had changed. Does that mean all of them had changed? Or even as a little guy, I became a little Pharisee. I wasn't that excited about honoring mom or dad or loving God with all my heart. You know, those were, but as far as not eating meat, man, I was kosher. I was committed. I was tight with that one. But God would have us know His laws last forever. Man's laws, even in terms of religious practices, are temporary and serve a purpose. Things we get from the district office sometimes helps us. One of the things it says, it's a cautionary note to me, is that we all tend toward religious practice. The longer we practice our faith or follow Christ, the more we'll tend to create human religious laws that are really, really important to us, and we'll hold on to them no matter what. And we'll actually become more and more lenient and not so excited about God's law itself. I remember as a young Christian, for example, I thought if you were really loved Christ and was going to follow Him, you should carry a Bible to church. Now, that was something that I just set up as a religious standard. All people carry a Bible to church. I was also a part of a church one time that said, all people who are following Christ, members of the church, do not attend movies. Sometimes I hold on to those things like, they better never change. They mean so much to me. And then I slack off on things like loving God, honoring mom and dad, not coveting. They become not so important. My own way of how I understand what I think are they're temporary rules. Human laws are meant to change. I do this with my children sometimes at home. I become a dad who's a Pharisee. I'm around supper time. If I say it's supper time, I like to see all of us there, you know, within 10 seconds ready to eat. I'm hungry, I'm cranky. When that doesn't happen, I launch off into a 20-minute sermon about how important it is to sit down and eat when we say it's time to eat. Have I talked to my kids about their prayer life? I'll be flexible about that. Have I talked to my kids about how they're dealing with the stuff around them? You know, do they have a heart to covet or not? Who's to say what that means? But I'm tight as a drum when it comes to my particular practice of things. God's law is for forever. It's right for everybody for all time. Man's law is changing. And so there's a big difference, and not to confuse the two. And God's law would let us know it's holy and perfect. It's true for all time. God's law says this is right and this is wrong for all time and for all people. And we're to be very wedded and anxious to hear God's heart and seek His face in that area. Some worship services, in a good way, as a part of worship, they say, God is good all the time. And then the people say, all the time God is good. When we hear God's law, we should be saying this. That is true all the time. And then the people say, all the time that is true. How God's gracious to give us an anchor for our soul in what He has to say to us. And so how can God's law help us? It points us to our Savior. Probably none of us came to meet Christ without knowing, hey, we were out of bounds on God's holy and unchanging law. That'll do a lot more for us than man's laws, even in the church life in particular. But God's law is holy. It shows us His character. If I were to say to you, you have a job description for this week. Part of that job description is to not steal, not lie, don't use God's name in vain, and always put God first. You'd say, that's quite a character-building opportunity. Where'd you come up with that? That's God's heart for us. It's God's will for us. It's a part of His law. God's law shows us His holy character. Because we're not at peace with God by looking at it, doesn't mean we throw it out or ignore it. We say it's sweet because it'll point us to God Himself. God's law also, besides showing us God's heart, can be a good mirror for us to show us where we're off. And most of us looked in the mirror before we walked out the door this morning. And we do so to straighten out what is out of bounds. You know, the dirt comes off and the tie gets straightened and we're ready. God's law shows us our sin. And often we don't want to look at God's law, because when we do, we say, oh my, how I need God's grace and mercy. We hesitate, even as Christians who love the Lord, to look at God's law. If we look at God's law, we realize, I'm in trouble. I need a Savior. And He shows us our sin when we look in that mirror. But we don't pick the mirror up and try to clean ourselves off with God's law. That's a mistake a lot of times we do as Christians and as religious people. We think, if I'm not walking with the Lord, I know what I need. I need some more rules in my life. That'll get me going. God's Ten Commandments and great two commandments, they're not good enough. I'm going to have some more, because if I get some more, then I'll straighten out. We can never straighten ourselves out with even just the holy law of God as such. We need help. God's Word says, by the keeping of the law, no man is justified. But through the law, we become conscious of sin. Are you conscious of sin in your life? When we're conscious of sin, it gives opportunity to repent. God's law is a tremendous force to help us repent of sin and to turn to Him. It tells us that we fall short. Jesus told people one time, He said, has not Moses given you the law? Yet not one of you keeps the law. Now that's a sobering thought. Has not Moses given you the law? And yet not one of you keeps the law. Why did Jesus tell us that? So that we say, we need God's help. Desperately. To keep the Ten Commandments or any other group of laws. God's law at that point serves as a hammer to smash our self-righteousness. We need Christ. In a huge way. Donald Gray Barnhouse, who preached in the previous century, said this about God's law. He said, God's law is not your salvation. God's law is your damnation without Christ. And so there's a holy encounter that happens when we look at God's law and say, yeah, speak to me through it. If you read God's law seriously and take it seriously, God will show us Christ. And soon we'll be seeking Him. Romans 3:20 says, so that every mouth may be silenced and the whole world be held accountable to God. Wow. There's a real quest among people in different lines of work, from the corporate world to church life to ball teams. You know, accountability is on the rise. Who are you accountable to? And when God's law comes, God says, you're accountable ultimately to me. And were you ever in a situation where you were called on the carpet for something and you didn't have anything to say? You were just silent. God says that'll happen when you let God's law speak to you. We don't defend ourselves at that point. God's law would come and say, how do you plea? Do you plea guilty or not guilty? And if we hear God, we say, guilty is charged before the holy law of God. Guilty is charged if Christ doesn't intervene. That He will come and bring a new life that we need. In the Old Testament, we'll see this next week, when God spoke the Ten Commandments, Moses wrote them down, and that experience was happening before the people. The people were so intimidated, they said, Moses could speak to us, but don't let God speak to us or we will die. That's what they said. And God said, well, you're supposed to fear God like that. That'll help you not sin. But that's probably what each of our soul wants when we come to worship or when we walk with God throughout the week. We really do want God to speak to us. We can say, well, let the preacher speak to us. That's fine. No harm, no foul there. But if God speaks to you, then you'll say, I have to change, or and my sinful ways have to die. They really have to die. And then God can give us a new life with Him when we come to the end of our own self, our own righteousness. It'll be a blessed funeral to attend if we say, I went to, and God spoke to me, and my life without Him died. And now I have a new life with Him. The law can be a great teacher then to lead us to Christ. It's a great evangelist, you might say. It says, you need Christ, come to Christ. The law says, look at yourself, but look at Christ too. It introduces us to the one person who does keep the law. This morning we were in the presence and closeness of the one who has never had anything before God. No idols in his life ever. Never took the Lord's name in vain. Honored mom and dad. Never committed adultery. Never stole or lied or coveted anything. And that's our dear Lord Jesus. It's amazing. Not only that he rose from the dead, but he kept the law perfectly. And he'll share with us that goodness that he has, that we sense we need. When we read those Ten Commandments, even somebody who doesn't know Christ will say, yeah, those are good things. Those are holy things and right things. And when we meet Christ, he lets us know that by ourselves again, by ourselves, each of those commandments, we might break them, but they'll break us. It's like the law of gravity. Try to break that, you're in trouble. You break the law of God, it'll break us. And if the Lord was the teacher and we were the students, he goes through those Ten Commandments. Commandment one, what's our grade? F. Wow. Commandment two, F. And down the line we go. It gives us a sense of our need. And Jesus comes. What's his grade on the commandments? Commandment one, A. Commandment two, A. Oh, Lord, help me get to know you. Share your goodness with me. When I was in school taking chemistry class, I was very intimidated by chemistry. We get in these groups, you know. You ever work in a group, and whatever the group grade gets, you get. Well, my team didn't benefit much for me. Chemistry, I'm lost. I don't know what to do. I have my friend. He knows everything about chemistry. He gets an A. If he gets an A, I get an A. I say, you're my friend. I want to be in your group. Christ will change not just an experience, but change our life. Oh, let me see. Let me see how you live, Jesus. Would you live through me like that? There's great ministries around us that show people who cannot change in themselves, but by turning to ultimately the Lord in their hearts, they are set free. There's groups like Teen Challenge, for example, when a teenager or a young adult has drug or alcohol problems. And they come and they go through a rehab time and they give their hearts to Christ. Those are very positive experiences for the people and for people outside. They say, that's a great group. There's groups like Alcoholics Anonymous do the same thing. And we as people, we're like a group, Sinners Anonymous, where we say we come to God and he helps us. He sets us free from sin and we are recovering from this great sin problem that was too big for us. And people outside the church, they say, if I ever wake up to a problem like that, I know where to go to get help. Because Christ can save from the curse of the law. The law would only leave us without help. Cursed is everyone who does not follow everything in the book of the law. Steve Brown, who's a pastor, said this about what the law can do for us. He says, if you look in my life, you'll find bad things. You won't have to look too hard to find them. They are there. You will find sin if you look for it. But before you load your gun to shoot me, let me tell you something else. You're not so hot yourself. That's what the law tells humanity. You're not so hot yourself. And so you might have, there's a classic standoff. Our guns are loaded. We're big targets. We could fire away, and and everyone falls. Or we could say, this is the law of God. And we could honor the law, but we could turn to Christ in the great need of our soul that we have. And Brown said, if God would do all us Christians a favor, what he should do is tattoo our 10 greatest sins on our forehead. So when we walk around and we look in the mirror, we see where we're at. We see other people, we see where they're at. And then we say, this is what the law does for us. It helps us constantly turn to Christ. Receive a new life from him. His goodness, his holiness, a new way to live. Wouldn't it be refreshing to our soul if we allow God's law to do that? In the next number of weeks, when you hear God's law, remember there's no wiggle room. There's no compromise. There's no squirm room. But it is an opportunity to experience God's character, his teaching to turn us to Christ and allow God to work in you so that in a lot of ways you're silenced before God, but you embrace Jesus in a greater measure of gratitude and thanks, because he can give us a new life, which we desperately need as his children. Might we pray and meet God in a prayer time and honoring him for his law and his salvation. Lord Jesus, thank you for the gift of life forever through faith in Jesus Christ our Lord. And Father, this has to be a gift because as your law would let us know, we don't keep the law, but it can point us so effectively to you. We do tremble before your law, Lord. And if we just heard about your law only, we would feel rightly so under condemnation. But might the looking into your law bring revival to our soul, because it points us clearly and truthfully to Jesus, the keeper of the law, who would fulfill the law in us. Might there be people here today, even hearing the simple commandments, love your neighbor, love God with all you are. There would be people today who would say, I'm lost. I'm not even close to following the law, but Jesus would be my Savior and Lord, and he'll teach me to walk in these ways with great delight. Work your work in us, dear Savior, and might we rejoice in the truth that can set us free. In your name we pray. Amen. Song of testimony to experience joy in Christ. No other way to have joy in Christ than to trust and obey. A good way to walk with Jesus this week. Could you stand with us as we praise his name?